This is the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, part of the VSporto Network, bringing you all Noles all the time.
In Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
Back to some basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting rolled banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success, so you know something, I can really do this.
We just beat the WNBA.
And once again, this is the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio. I'm your host, Jason Saples. Going to be joined today by Wayne McGahee III, Trey McGahee from NoleDigest.com. We're talking recruiting, and still a lot more to talk about. This is the defensive recruiting extravaganza as we progress into the contact period. A lot more action on the defensive side of the football, as Florida State has more or less got the offensive side of the football ready to roll. And just a few more bodies, you know, a couple questions at the receiver position, as we talked about on the prior podcast. But for the most part, we have a good sense of what's going to happen there. Defensively, not quite so set. So let's go ahead and talk about what needs to happen defensively for Florida State. We'll start on the edge. We talked a little bit about that at the beginning of the last podcast, but let's go ahead and refresh on what needs to happen on the edge for Florida State, where Florida State right now has four sort of true defensive end players on the roster, two of whom are seniors, one of whom is a junior, and then one sophomore, Josh Sweat, who may well leave after his junior year. So this is much more of a concern body-wise, and then you have the buck position, which is kind of, it's an edge position, but a little bit more of a hybrid linebacker defensive end position, where you have Jacob Pugh and Lorenzo Featherston, again, both of whom are juniors. So this is a position where Florida State sort of whiffed a little bit last year, aside from Josh Sweat, and he's probably a three-year player. So that means you got to bring in at least three.
Yeah, right now you have Josh Brown, who everybody thought that Brown was going to end up at, you know, Tennessee or maybe one of the North Carolina schools, even after he committed to Florida State. But he stuck with his commitment.
Solid.
And yeah, he's been extremely solid. It was actually the guy that nobody worried about that was, you know, not solid, and Janarius Robinson. They committed on back-to-back days. But Robinson has firmed up his commitment. He's not taking any more visits. He plans to early enroll at Florida State, which is a
huge,
very good thing. Yeah, he needs as much time as possible in this system to get better, because he is extremely raw. We talked about it last time, but he is very, very raw, and he needs to get the long factor going. I think Florida State needs to add at least one more. And right now, the best target for that is four-star defensive end Brian Burns from.
Well, depends on what you mean by the best target. He is probably the most likely target out of all of these, but the best target we'll talk about in a couple minutes in terms of the best player. But yes.
Well, the best player is an extreme long shot at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Florida State has to get him back on campus, and that's not happening.
Doesn't look like it's going to happen. But but we'll get to that. But anyway, Brian Burns is the most likely candidate here.
Yes, and I think he is the best I think he's the second best defensive end in the country behind the guy that we were just talking about, Oluwole Betiku.
Yeah, Betiku is unbelievable.
Yes,
as a prospect.
He is 100% the best defensive end in the country. I think Brian Burns is right up there on his heels for the second best. But, I mean, you've also got Terrell Hall, who Jimbo Fisher went in home with the other day.
And
who's
he's coming in on an official this weekend. That's right.
Florida State's going to have to blow him away at this point.
He's a former Ohio State commit, as I recall.
Yeah, top 250 player in the country.
I actually like him better than Burns overall as a combination because of his size. I think he's comparable in terms of explosion, and, you know, he's a really smooth kid. But this is a guy that's already over 245 pounds. You know, he's 6'6", just under 6'6". I mean, he's a super long guy, fits really well. And this is a guy that his high school lined him up at wide receiver at times. So, I mean, that's the level of athlete that Terrell Hall is. But again, Florida State is dealing with a lot of other factors now. I mean, this is a kid from Washington, D.C., from that DMV area. And, you know, I think Maryland with the hire of DJ Durkin probably just jumped into the front of the line there for Terrell Hall, staying home in the DMV area. Had they not made that hire, I'm not sure that he wouldn't have gone to Alabama or Florida State. But Florida State could still potentially blow him away this weekend, but I'm not as optimistic about Florida State's chances of landing him as before Maryland hired Durkin, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think it still would have been a tough pull away from Alabama because I think that's where he ends up at, right now. Maryland's going to be a tough for him to turn down, but I think it's going to end up being Alabama for him. But Burns had a top two of Florida and Georgia for the past month. Well, recently he named Florida State as co-leader with Florida. I believe that was actually two nights ago.
Yeah.
He did that. So it's definitely going to come down to the wire for him because Florida State absolutely needs him. And keeping him away from Florida would be a very big deal.
Yeah, so. And of course, you know, the situation with Charles Kelly, which as we're recording this right now, is still unresolved in terms of the potential of Kelly going to Auburn. That also is going to come into play in terms of some of this stuff with, you know, if Florida State's defensive staff gets any sort of shakeup, that could affect some of these things as well. So still a little bit of wait and see there. We should mention that.
Absolutely. I mean, there's going to be a lot of shakeup. I mean, you could, you know, go out and if say Kelly does leave, you go out and hire Kevin Scherer, who is one of Burns's main recruiters.
Perhaps.
Which would probably firm him up, but it's just, it's a fluid situation as is recruiting every year.
Even without that, it is.
It's a fun game to play unless you suck at it.
Yeah. And which most people do, but anyway, there are still a couple of other prospects, like you mentioned, you know, so Burns, you know, is trending back toward Florida State. Again, it looks like it's going to come down to Florida and Florida State at that point. And, you know, being from American Heritage, that basically should still – that Florida State's going to have a good shot at landing him. Then after that, you've got the guy that I – you know, if I had my choice, if I'm the Florida State coaching staff of any player in the country to add to my current class, it would be this guy, Wole Betiku, the kid from Junipero Serra High School out in California. But he's a transplant. You know, he's an international kid from Nigeria. He's one of the best defensive end prospects I've seen in high school. I mean, you're talking about a guy that is a Josh Sweat or Jadeveon Clowney type prospect, in my opinion. I think he's a better prospect long term than Bosa down in South Florida, and he's a guy that, you know, he's going to be an early contributor wherever he goes. Even though he's only played a couple years of football and is raw, he'll be an early contributor anywhere he goes. But as of right now, it looks like he probably winds up at USC, oddly. So, you know, and
that's where all Sierra kids go.
That's where Sierra kids go. But, you know, early in the process, he'd more or less ruled them out because of the defensive scheme that they run. But of late, he's been saying, well, I'm not paying as much attention to defensive scheme anymore. I'm just going to where, you know, I think I'm going to have the best chance overall. And that sounds like a kid that's probably going to wind up at USC. And if Florida State doesn't get him on campus, it's all going to be moot because I don't think he winds up there. Other than that, so you got those three guys, all of whom are, you know, top level, top shelf additions. If you can add those guys to the two that Florida State already has with Janarius Robinson and Josh Brown, then Florida State has hit a home run at the edge. What other prospects does Florida State have? Let's say they strike out on all three. Burns winds up going to Florida. Hall goes to Bama or Maryland, and Betiku winds up at USC or perhaps Texas A&M. What does Florida State have to fall back on at that defensive end spot? Because they don't want to wind up only signing two. I mean, they could survive on two, but they really want to sign three.
Yeah, I mean, it's you've got Terrell Lucas, who's a three-star linebacker slash defensive end. He came to Florida State, worked out as a linebacker for the first 2 days of the July camp, and was just non-existent. Never noticed him. He came, and then the final day, you know, it was the last half day, he worked out at defensive end, and he really stood out. I mean, he stood out over guys like Kier Thomas and who Florida State passed on. But, I mean, he stood out at the defensive end position. So you've got him. If Florida State, you know, wipes out across the board for those guys, it's you could end up seeing him get an offer.
Yeah, and again, that's the kind of kid where as a fallback, he's a quality player. So I mean, that's at least not scraping the bottom of the barrel. But obviously, Florida State would prefer to land one of their top three remaining targets there. Let's go ahead and flip then to the defensive tackle side. Florida State really needed two, maybe three here this year. I mean, you look at the roster. Florida State has 8 defensive tackles on the roster at present. You generally want to carry about 10 in Florida State's defense. Of those 8, 1 is a senior, 3 are juniors, 3 are sophomores, and 1 is a redshirt freshman. So pretty good spread there. But the one senior is Justin Shanks. He's a redshirt senior, and I'm not sure he's going to be on the roster next year. So that potentially opens up a spot. And then when you look at the juniors, there is some chance that maybe one of those guys winds up making a leap and deciding to go early. I don't think it happens, but it's very possible with the top level year from maybe a Derek Nnadi or a DeMarcus Christmas that they could decide to go. So Florida State really needs to add 2 more to have the numbers that they want. So that's where they sit, right?
Yep. You've got a JUCO defensive tackle, Walvinsky Aime,
who is a big joker.
Yeah, it's quite funny. He wasn't recruited out of high school because he was about 6'2", 220, and now he's 6'5", about 300.
Yeah, he is a big joker, and boy, is he well put together.
But Florida State really, I mean, Florida State likes him even more because he's a 3-year-to-play-3 type of guy.
Yeah, so that gives you. I mean, he comes in basically as a sophomore, and he'll be in ready to go. So, you know, he's raw, but boy, that body—he looks like he's ready to play in the NFL. And then you got one other. You got a high school commit who's been steady from the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, you've got local commit Cedric Wood. I've seen him a number of times. I'm a big fan of the kid. He does everything right. He's never wavered. He's never taken another visit,
which is why he's not ranked as high as some other kids that he may be a little bit better than. I mean, he's a kid similar in that regard to a DeMarcus Christmas, where Christmas didn't do the camp scene. He didn't, you know, do a bunch of self-promotion and a lot of visits going around. He just went about his business, and Wood's kind of done the same thing.
Yep, exactly. I mean, he didn't go to any camps. He didn't do anything. He attended the Florida State camp. He didn't work out this year. He didn't need to. Odell's been by to see him, I mean, damn near 50 times since he started his high school career. He's done deal. I think he's a very good player.
He's 6'4", which is nice. I mean, that's good length on the inside.
Yeah, I think he needs a year or two to develop, but I think he's going to be a great player.
Yeah, and beyond that, there are a couple targets that neither of us think Florida State lands, but they're still on the board. So why don't we cover those quickly?
Yeah, I mean, you've got Raekwon Davis, and
talk about a giant. Think
he's the main target at that point.
He's going to wind up at Bama.
Commit. So I think that he ends up sticking with Alabama.
Yeah, and he's looking around. I mean, he is looking around, but I think he winds up sticking. I mean, this is that happens a lot, and I think he winds up sticking. So then beyond that,
you've got Shavar Manuel, who's likely going to end up at UF. If you had told me a year ago that he was going to end up at UF,
you'd have laughed at
us. I would have thought that would have been a fantastic pull for Florida. Now I'm not so sure. After his senior year, he did not recover well from his knee injury. He's up to 300 pounds. He's playing defensive tackle. He did not start a single game for IMG this year, and he just didn't play well. I mean, if you were judging just off his senior film, he's a USF type kid.
Yeah.
But if you judge him as a whole and what he could be, he's a top level kid, but it's just, what are you getting?
Yeah, his ceiling is still way up there, and you know, he's a guy that Florida State's still going to try to pull, but you know, you and I both think he's going to wind up at Florida, so we can go ahead and move on from there. Then you get to the other big need in addition to the edge position, and that's linebacker. We talked a little bit about that on the last podcast. Florida State has two seniors departing, and if you look at the roster, they've got six guys basically coming back for next year, and basically you generally want to carry somewhere between 8 and 10 on your roster at all times. And what complicates this is out of the six for next year, two of them are seniors. So you can't, and oh, two of them are seniors. I should mention two of them are seniors, and one of them is a junior named Matthew Thomas, who, you know, you're not sure if he's going to be on the roster either. So really you got to factor that as three seniors. So out of your six guys, you've got three guys that aren't going to be on the roster the following year. And if you're trying to carry 8 to 10, you definitely need bodies. So, you know, that's where Florida State stands. I should mention that a lot of fans have been talking about this position as though they need to get recruits in so that they can play next year. That's not really the concern. This is a really important thing for fans to get, to understand. You don't recruit for next year. Florida State is not recruiting in 2016 for 2016. Recruiting classes are about the next 2 years after that. So what you're recruiting for is 2017, 2018, and somewhat 2019. That's really what you're trying to get. So you know that you're going to have three, maybe four linebackers on the roster in 2017. And if you're going to try to carry eight, that means you're going to need to add about four in this class. And that's where Florida State stands. That's why they've got to add some of those bodies. And again, I don't necessarily expect Florida State. I think Florida State's going to be fine in terms of their linebackers that are actually on the field next year. Between Lorenzo Phillips, Roderick Hoskins, Matthew Thomas, Tyrell Lyons, and Shamar Kilby Lane, and then if Purifoy ever gets himself healthy, they're going to have quality linebacker play next year. Though that's not the problem. The concern is moving forward, what are they going to have on the field in 2017, 2018? And that's what this class is really about. So why don't you fill us in on what the defensive big board looks like at the linebacker position?
Well, you have one commit. You used to have two. Jamal Couch decommitted.
But you got one commit, Emmett Rice.
Yeah. I told you that.
Yeah.
Last time we talked about it, he wants to play tight end.
But dang if he isn't a perfect. I mean, that kid is a perfect pro. Like, he is a prototype. If you wanted to design a linebacker prospect for Florida State, that kid is it. But he wants to play offense, so what do you do?
Yeah. Well, and then you've got Emmett Rice, who is committed. He's lanky, he's tall, but he plays very well. He's a hard hitter. He sheds blocks well. So
he's only about 195 pounds. So he's not.
That's very true.
He's not.
He's going to need some time.
Yeah, he's not ready to. Again, this is not about recruiting for linebackers to get on the field next year. This is about recruiting for 2017, 2018. And this is a kid that really is more of a 2018 type kid. Though he's going to give you some special teams stuff right away. And that's the other reason you need those linebacker bodies, is linebackers and defensive ends linebackers and defensive backs are the core of your of special teams and coverage units and that sort of thing. And Rice is going to be able to do that fairly early.
And then it's really a down year for linebackers in the state of Florida. There just really aren't that many good ones. Florida State's in for Devin Bush Jr., who's a Florida State legacy, is going to decide in the next 6 days whether he's going to be a Wolverine at Michigan or a Seminole Florida State like his pops. So it's
and he's not a prototype for Florida State's defense because of him being, you know, 6 foot. He's kind of a Buster Davis kind of prospect, where, you know, runs pretty well, compact, a little bit of a bowling ball, but not exactly the prototype for what Florida State has there, but a good prospect. He's a really good football player, very instinctive.
He's a very instinctive football player, and he's a guy that actually could help out on defense next season, just because he understands the game of football well. He gets it. He's been around football his whole life.
Yeah.
So,
but again, I don't think that they're going to necessarily have anybody from this freshman class really doing much next year on the field. I mean, they've got the bodies to take that spot.
It depends on whether or not Matthew Thomas, you know, actually plays, and, you know, if Purifoy can get in and stay healthy.
Yeah, but even without those guys, I mean, I think they'll be fine. Let's just say, I don't know. Let's go with Lorenzo Phillips and Roderick Hoskins being the primary two. I mean, Florida State only really has two linebackers on the field generally. So, I mean, those two guys are going to be solid, even if Matthew Thomas isn't, you know, doesn't do anything. Now, if Thomas is back, then your linebacking core gets a huge upgrade. And then, you know, Tyrell Lyons is a guy that is going to be out there a good bit. And Shamar Kilby-Lane is going to be on the... So, I mean, those guys are going to be out there before any of the freshmen that Florida State's looking at this point. Though, like you said, in a pinch, if there's an injury here or there, then Devin Bush is the kind of kid that can come in and contribute earlier because of how smart he is.
Absolutely. And then you've got a couple of out-of-state linebackers that Florida State's in on. I mean, you've got Dontavius Jackson from Texas.
And I think they'll get that kid.
I thought so, but he's got to come back and visit before signing day. If he doesn't, I don't think there's any chance at all. He's gone so many other places. I just don't think that they're gonna be able to get him with just one visit because he's only visited one time.
Yeah, but the relationship that he seems to have with some of the other players in the class seems to be continuing to improve. So I'm still penciling him in. Either way, he's a thumper. I mean, he's almost 240 pounds. I mean, he's a kind of guy you want to have on the roster for when you're playing Boston College and for when you're playing, Miami, if they do anything like what Georgia was doing with Richt there, you know, running the football like that. You want to have that kind of kid on your roster so that he can make plays in the box. And the thing is, he still does a good job, you know, from what we've seen on tape, does a pretty good job getting underneath routes in zone coverage in high school. So, you know, that makes him a pretty good fit for what Florida State wants to do.
Yeah, I mean, he's absolutely a good fit. I'm hedging my bets because Florida State hasn't pulled a kid out of Texas that Texas or Texas A&M have wanted since Montre Holland in 2007.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you got, well, Montre Holland was in 2007. Montre Holland was in 97, maybe. Keon Joyner is the other from out of state kid stealing your thunder here a little bit. And this is your guy. You really like this kid.
Yes. I mean, I was a huge fan of the kid. Everybody else has backed off, you know, due to some off the field issues. But I mean, this kid comes from absolutely nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing.
Yeah, a situation where it's better for him to get away from home a little bit.
Yes, and you know, just get away from everything. He's a very good football player. I'm a big fan of him. So I think Florida State's in position to land the kid.
I think they're the strong favorite. As long as Brad Lawing is on the staff, Joyner will wind up with wherever Lawing is, and doesn't look like Lawing is going to South Carolina to join Will Muschamp. So I think as long as on the Florida State staff, Joyner, who has also been recruited pretty hard by Florida State running backs coach Graham, I think he's going to wind up at Florida State. And this is a kid who has a little bit more of the length and sort of prototypical stuff that Florida State's looking for at this position. You know, 6'3", about 220 pounds. I mean, about the right size that Florida State's looking for a kid coming out of high school. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him at the college level, because he's a kid that I'm not sure how fluid his hips are at this point. He's going to need to get a little bit more fluid. He's a kid that runs really well forward and backwards, you know, moving one direction in one plane. But I'm not sure that he doesn't wind up growing into an edge. More of a Jacob Pugh type player, which again would, in some sense, that's another big need that Florida State has. So, I mean, if that winds up happening, that's not a disaster. But I think he's such a good football player that they're going to find a place for him. And I think he's more than likely going to wind up on the Florida State roster. Beyond that, so that's three guys. You know, I think Florida State lands at least two of those guys. Then, you know, maybe one or two more. Who are the other prospects?
You've got Jonathan Jones, who does not have a Florida State offer yet, but there's mutual interest between the two. So if it comes down push to shove, if they don't get Devin Bush or Dontavius Jackson, I think you could end up Jonathan Jones.
Yeah, I think Jones gets an offer if Devin Bush commits to Michigan.
Yes, I completely.
Because they're very similar players, in my opinion. I mean, they're about the same size, you know, similar numbers and all that, and both are very instinctive players. And I don't think that they can bring both of them in, because you don't want two kids in your class, two linebackers in your class that are, you know, 6 foot or below. But you can bring one of them in. And I think Florida State went with Bush early on, and if he goes to Michigan, then they'll probably offer Jones.
Yeah, I mean, you're missing on Zach McLeod at this point.
Yeah, he's going to Miami.
He's going back to Miami. And, I mean, other than that, I mean, that's really it.
Yeah, the Rick Tyer sealed Zach McLeod for Miami, without a doubt. All right, finally we close where Florida State is extremely well off so far, and that is in the secondary. Generally speaking, you want to carry about 14 to 16 players in your secondary, say six safety kids and maybe eight cornerbacks. It's a little harder to differentiate the two a lot of times with the way Florida State recruits. But Florida State's got, you know, they had three, really four counting JV and Elliott, four seniors, four departures because of Jalen Ramsey leaving as well. Four departures, and potentially could have one more with Marquez White, but I don't think he goes anywhere. And that leaves them with five safety prospects. That's counting Calvin Bruton as a safety rather than a corner, and five corners on the roster, which means that they really need to bring in four, maybe five defensive backs in this class, and they're in position to do just that. And they could potentially bring in a sixth if it's the right guy.
I mean, absolutely. It's I mean, right now you're looking at, you have three commitments. You have Kyle Myers, who's a cornerback out of Louisiana.
Underrated. Nice length on the kid.
Yeah. Measured in a just above 6 foot, very nice size, very physical cornerback. You've got LaVonta Taylor, who, I mean, probably the top cornerback in the country this year.
And
I don't think,
if nothing else, LaVonta Taylor, you know, we've talked about this again. You're not recruiting the cornerback position to get a kid to be on the field day one as a corner. That doesn't happen very often. It's happened twice at Florida State in my lifetime, basically, Deion Sanders and Jalen Ramsey. So it's asking a lot to expect a corner to come in and start right away at Florida State. LaVonta Taylor's the kind of kid that makes you think about it. I don't think he starts it as a freshman at corner, but he's going to be on the field at day one at punt returner. He is the day one starter at punt returner and immediately changes Florida State at that position.
Absolutely. I think I think he's going to have a fight on his hands. I mean, you know how much I love Nyquan.
Oh, you love you some Nooney.
I do. I think he's going to have a fight on his hands for that position. But, yeah, I think he does end up on the field somewhere as a freshman.
He'll contribute. I think he probably winds up getting on the field more in the dime packages against really good passing teams, you know, probably in the slot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's out of the question at all. I think you could also see him make a run at starting at the star position.
But my suspicion for next year is that's going to still be Trey Marshall. With what we saw from him at safety, he's much better at that star position. Now, I think they're going to do with Marshall, because he's not a where this gets complicated is, I think they're going to continue to platoon a little bit at star, unlike what they did when you had Jalen Ramsey and LaMarcus Joyner there. Both of those guys cover like corners because they were corners. Trey Marshall is not a corner. Like, he's not covering like a LaMarcus Joyner or a Jalen Ramsey. So when you're up against teams that are a little bit more pass heavy at that spot, I mean, initially this year they had Tyler Hunter there for some of those situations, and then that didn't work out real well. So JV and Elliott became the full-time guy there once Marshall got hurt. But I think, again, next year you're going to have two stars. You're going to have Marshall as the primary star most of the time. But then there are going to be a number of cases where they sub Marshall out and they put more of a corner in there at the star position. And that's where I think you could see a kid like LaVonta Taylor potentially be the star in that case. If it's not LaVonta Taylor, I wouldn't be surprised to see Marcus Lewis, the sophomore corner who could move around a little bit in the secondary next year because of his physicality. But I wouldn't be surprised if Taylor took that role next year.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. And then lastly, for commitments-wise, you have Jamel Cook, who's Miami's making a run at him. There's a couple schools making a run at him. At this point, I think Florida State, he sticks with Florida State unless something happens to Kelly. But he's 6'4", about 220, very athletic. I mean, at this point right now, he's a safety. He told me that when I talked to him at the July Jimbo Fisher camp, that Florida State was recruiting him specifically to play the star.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense because of his length and all that. I mean, I'm not sure he's really 220, but I mean, at 210, say, which is more what I believe for him at this point, let's say 205, 210. At 210, 215, as he grows a little bit, that's a pretty dang good star prospect because he does run like a safety. He's got length, and he can cover like a defensive back, but he's almost linebacker size. So he fits really, really well at that star position and also gives you the chance to get a kid with range in the secondary when you want.
And then as far as kids at Florida State are still recruiting, you have you got to start off with Javon Myers. That's who I want to start off with just because he's the brother of Nate Craig Myers, the five-star wide receiver. Both he was recently committed to Florida, decommitted, and Florida State was in on him beforehand, still recruiting him now. I like the kid. He's very, very raw. Very raw.
Yeah, I think he's underrated, frankly.
Yeah, I like his footwork. I think he's a very good prospect. He's not a guy that you're going to come in and need to play immediately. He needs 2 to 3 years down the road. He needs time in the system. Then you've got Trayvon Mullen, who everybody's high on. He's tall. He's rangy. He covers very well. He has great instincts.
I think he's the best corner in the state.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that at all.
It's very similar. I don't remember the name of the kid that that LSU got out of Florida,
You talking about Kevin Tolliver?
Yes, he's very similar to Kevin Tolliver from last year's class, in my opinion. Maybe not quite as physical, but a similar prospect.
And lastly, you've also got
two safety prospects.
Yeah, you've got two safety prospects. You've got Brandon Burton from out in California. Florida State's trying their best to get him in, but his parents aren't too wild about him playing across the country. And then you've got Carlos Becker, who's, you know, Florida State's been on him a little bit throughout the year. There's mutual interest now. They really liked his senior film. But I don't know that he ends up in the class, whether Florida, like, it would take Florida State missing out on pretty much all the other guys that I've listed at that position too, or Jamel Cook exiting to get him in the class.
Yeah, I think they'll go with Burton first and then Becker. If Burton doesn't come, I think probably may get an offer sort of toward the end, and both of those guys are guys that again, they're going to take a little bit of time, but project well in what Florida State likes to do. In any case, I think this is we've talked about what Florida State really needs to do for this to be a solid class. They need to add another edge player, and they need to get at least two of the linebacker prospects that we talked about, preferably three. And, you know, in order for this to be a home run class, they need to get one of the three top defensive ends that they're targeting and then two of the top three linebacker prospects that they're targeting and then land Trayvon Mullen. If they do that, to me, then this is one of the best, if not the best, defensive classes in the country because of what they're getting at cornerback and then, you know, what they could potentially be bringing in on the edge. So, you know, that allows you a lot of flexibility. If you can rush the passer and single cover on the outside, you can be pretty good. And it looks like they're going to fill the need for the long-term linebacker prospects. Although, again, I think they're still going to need to bring in a couple guys in the 2017 class just to be sure that they have the quality there. But should be fine there. I think this will wind up being a quality class. Maybe not the number one class in the country by ranking, but probably fills the needs that Florida State has.
I mean, I absolutely don't disagree with that. I mean, as much as you don't need another receiver, I think you need to land one of them, one of the two, for it to be just a home run class. I don't think you need it. I don't think there's a single position out there where you need to grab zero in a year. I think you always need to get at least one, just for when it comes down to, you know, recruiting and keeping the cycles right.
Yeah, I think that tends to be right. But overall, I think it's probable that Florida State pulls one of those two. If they pull both of them, then that's a ridiculous home run, especially given what the depth chart for next year is. Although both of those guys would potentially push some other guys down the depth chart a little bit. We'll see what happens on that. I do think that one of the more interesting questions is quarterback going forward to the 2017 class, where initially you weren't thinking about bringing a guy in, but DeAndre Johnson's mishap, I think, brings that into play. And, you know, that's up in the air a little bit more than I think is usual for Florida State at this point in the cycle. But that'll do it for us today. Trey, thanks for joining us and for all of your insight and help on the recruiting front for the last couple of episodes. We're going to keep abreast of this as the cycle goes. Plenty of time to talk about recruiting. But that'll do it for us for now here on the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio. Once again, just before we leave, a reminder that you can follow me on Twitter at Doc Staples. You can follow Wayne McGahee at Wayne McGahee III. And you can also be a fan of this show on Facebook at The Unconquered Podcast. You can subscribe and rate this podcast. The more 5-star reviews we get, the better, on iTunes. You can listen to us through Seminole Sports Radio online via vSporto and the Seminole Sports Radio app, the best way to listen to this show. Once again, this has been The Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio. I'm Jason Staples. Thanks for listening. I made this.